I love all seasons, but fall easily has to be one of my favorite seasons, definitely after summer. Well, why do you say that? Thank you for asking. Let me tell you, fall is like another New Year's, but better. You close the chapter on summer. Summer is just so different from your usual routine, maybe. And it's just like the perfect excuse to lock back in. In summer, we're a bit kind of all over the place. We're traveling more, we're hanging out more, we're more in the sun. Our routines may or may not get off. Maybe we're relaxing more. But then when it's all said and done, everyone goes back to school, everyone goes back to their jobs, the sun goes back in the clouds. It is the perfect time to reset, realign, and glow up before the new year. And why it's even more exciting is because you feel like you have this head start. While everyone is just waiting and putting things off until the next year, you're secretly grinding and up-leveling so that when the new year comes, not only is it so much easier for you to stick to your new goals because you have more faith in yourself because you locked in and you know what you're capable of, but you literally just got a head start on the world, and you are just walking into that new year hot, confident, with some of your goals already accomplished, and you make it seem effortless. I love fall, and I love fall glow ups. And especially, just a little bonus, if you are the kind of person who travels for the holidays, like December time, wouldn't you want to go on vacation feeling like your best self? Exactly. Let's get into how you're going to glow up and lock in before the new year starts. Welcome or welcome back to The Creation of Her. Whether you're listening from YouTube, Apple Podcasts, or Spotify Podcasts, I'm so happy you're here. We talk about all things from glow ups to mindset shifts to feminine energy to productivity, consistency, and literally everything that you need to close that gap between who you are now and the woman that you were always meant to be. I don't know why I'm so pumped for this episode. I think it's because I genuinely took my time planning it and put everything from the top of my head and from my own lived experience into today's episode. It's very intentional, very real. And you already know, but if you're not new here, I do not like any of the fluff. I like actionable steps and I like the real truth. So that is exactly what I'm going to give you, even if it's what you don't want to hear. Step number one, obviously you have to revisit your goals if you made goals either throughout any time, like throughout this year or in the beginning of the year. A lot of you made goals at the beginning of the year or the beginning of the quarter or whatever the case, and you have not looked at them sense. That's an issue. We gotta pull those goals right back out. And if you didn't write any, then just think of the ones that are on the top of your head. I know you have things, goals and results you want to see, etc. Pull those goals out of the drawer, of the docs app, of your head, and let's reflect. What has gotten done? What has been completely neglected? What have you not gotten to? What did you accomplish? Now I want you to look back at those goals, and I have something for you in a bit if you don't even have goals. But I want you to just kind of fish out like the top 3 to 5 goals that if you were to accomplish them, if you were to either accomplish them before the new year or make progress in them before the new year, that those things would change your life the most. And we're going to focus on those. I don't know about you, but sometimes in the new year, or at least I used to do this, I would write down a whole bunch of goals and I would get to nothing because it was just so much. Basically, just don't want any fluff. Okay. We want the things that really matter. Once you have those, we're gold and we have something to work with. Because if you want to lock in before the new year, we have to know what you're locking into. But if you don't have goals, and even if you do and you just feel like you want to revise them, revisit, or just even make new ones that align more, let's get into how you have come to the right person. Before we get into this, I need to make sure that your mindset is right on even making goals in the first place. Goals should not be a thing that you look at and you're like, oh, like I gotta work towards this, and like I gotta give up like part of my life and part of whatever to get this. Goal making is fun. Goal reaching and goal achieving is fun. And the thing about goals is that they kind of never end. And that's not necessarily a bad thing, right? We're humans. We are meant to grow. We have this innate desire in us to just strive for the next thing. And that's kind of beautiful to basically always be growing. And you're allowed to simultaneously be content with who you are, what you have, where you've been, and what you've learned, while also constantly growing and constantly expanding your beautiful energy in this world. You're allowed to be content with who you are and what you have now, while also striving for more and reaching for more growth. But let me tell you what goals actually do for your daily life. Since goals never really end, you achieve one and then you have another one waiting for you. You need to shift the majority or almost all of your goals from results-based goals to action-based goals. So what does that mean? For example, I'm going to do something that's like very mathematical. Let's say you want to lose weight, right? You want to lose 10 pounds. Instead of having your goal as losing 10 pounds, you're going to have to figure out your calorie deficit, and your goal is going to be hitting this deficit every single day with X amount of protein, right? That's an action-based goal, because you can look at a results-based goal on a piece of paper for the rest of your life, but if you're not actually doing something towards it, you can easily get nowhere. And that is extremely discouraging, and that's not
fun.
Goals should be broken down into the action that you can complete every day, have an accountability system on that action, and with all the habits and the actions that you conjure up for your day-to-day life, they also need to be either fun or fulfilling and or purpose-driven so that you're actually falling in love with what you're doing every single day. Because if you're not in love with the action, if you're not in love with the day-to-day, you literally have nothing. Because once you get to that goal, you get to that goal and life goes on and there's just always something else waiting for you. But if you can fall in love with what you're doing every single day, then you're gold, because what actually matters is our day-to-day lives. Your days make up your entire life. So if you're not in love with the process and the journey of it, then what is the point? So here's how you're gonna set your goals. I want you to grab a paper, grab your notes app, and write down, just honestly brain dump, 1 year goal from now, 3 year goals from now, and 5 year goals from now. And you can also go in between, like 2 years, 4 years, just within the next, right, like month to 5 years, just brain dump all those goals. Maybe within the next 2 months, you wanna sleep an extra 30 minutes, but within 5 years, you wanna be married with kids. Just brain dump all of them, A to Z. And from that, you can pick your main goals and you create an action plan. And from that action plan, you narrow down to the main habits that you need to accomplish every day, and then build an accountability system. Like my favorite is a habit tracker. I've been using it ever since I was like 15 or 16, and you hold yourself accountable and have personal data on what you're doing every day. Now, I just said that in a very simplified version because this is a glow up video and not a goal making video, which I can make one of those, but you can go individually through all those steps. You can put your brain dump list into AI if you personally use AI. I know some people will like comment on my videos, they're like, you lost me at AI. Girl, you can do everything by hand and manually if you want, but if you're someone who utilizes AI and you want to use it, then by all means, I don't really care. You do you. I am just giving you the steps. But you can go through that process on your own, and it's easier said than done. It might take a little bit of time, it's a little bit tedious, you want to be intentional with it, but the point is that you reverse engineer your goals until you get down to what you're doing every day or every week. Now, chapter 2, start small. You may have heard what I just said and be like, oh my God, great. Okay, I'm gonna have to come up with like the 20 habits that I need to do every day. We're not doing that either. That is not sustainable. And if one of your goals is to be happy and healthy, then overloading your life is not gonna work either. So do you remember the story of the hare and the tortoise? I think that's what it's called. We were all told that story as kids, where basically the hare was trying to run the race and the tortoise was just going slow and steady. And then the hare was just rushing and ended up getting stuck in a hole. And who won at the end? The turtle or the tortoise or whatever. The moral of the story is slow and steady wins the race. If that is not one of the most helpful things that was taught to us as kids, I don't know what is. And the funny part of it is that a lot of times we don't even follow it. We let ourselves get burnt out. We put way too much on our plate when we get motivated. And when the motivation goes away, we're simply just left with burnout. We do crash diets, expect them to work, but instead end up wrecking our hormones. And going too fast, too soon, too much never ends up working in the end. And I don't know about you. I don't know if you're like a little more type A like me, but that was a tough, tough pill to swallow. Because we get excited and we want the results and we want to just jump in. But that is not always the way to go. And it might just end up pushing you backwards. Point is, especially if you are doing that and you are just crashing yourself out and burning and you're in that cycle, not only does it make you lose motivation, it is just not sustainable, but whatever you've been doing, if it's not working, it's not working. You need a new approach, and that approach is the sustainable approach. Because if going all in too fast hasn't worked for you in the past, it's not going to start working now. And if it did work, then it would have worked. I love following fitness and wellness influencers just because I'm like super gym girl type of vibe. And if you follow them too, you would know that they all say the same thing that they learned the hard way, trying to go all in or trying to just push. And it was really the small sustainable habits and choosing to see progress over a long period of time instead of quick results that made the biggest difference and the biggest glow up. The way I think of it is, in 6 months from now, it's gonna be still 6 months from now. The same amount of time is gonna pass. Like, the time is going to pass anyways. So these next 3 months, these next 6 months could be months of inconsistency, of bouncing from this to that, or you can be in the strongest, most consistent and sustainable place in your life, having fallen in love with what you do every single day and reaping the rewards on your internal world and your external looks. Chapter number 3 is mastering the art of studying yourself. I promise you, this is going to help you in your lock-in and in your glow up so much. I have like 2 main things that I think changed my life the most and led me to, I guess, reaching my goals faster, reducing stress, and just overall loving my life. And that is setting 3 priorities a day, which I will talk about because I talk about it in like every video, but also learning how to study yourself. Start paying attention to what feels good and what doesn't. Whether that's certain foods you eat, certain movements that you do, certain people you talk to, certain clothes that you wear, certain makeup looks, certain hairstyles, putting too much heat on your hair, cursing, certain vibes in certain rooms. Start having that level of self-awareness with your intuition and just what feels good in your body and what doesn't. My favorite way to study myself, and I don't know why I'm getting so excited talking about it, but it's just like ever since I've done it, I'm like, why isn't everyone doing this? Keep a journal by your head, and by your head, I mean like by your nightstand, under your pillow, whatever. And this is like the only action step I'm giving you for this video. Like obviously there's a ton of action steps, but if there's like one that I genuinely want you to do starting today, is this. Everything else, you do that on your own will. Like you do whatever you want, okay? But I want you to get a journal, get a piece of paper that stays on your nightstand or on your bed. And at the end of every single night, you are going to write down what worked and what didn't. You can be like, this felt really good. Or you're just going to write down what felt good throughout the day, what worked for you, and what things just didn't feel so good that you would do differently. And you can write down, like you can brainstorm ideas of how you would do X, Y, and Z thing differently, or how you can incorporate the good things again into tomorrow or the rest of your life. And it's so interesting because things that felt good 6 months ago that I wrote down maybe like doesn't feel good today, but that's okay because, you know, we go through different seasons of life and we're constantly changing and evolving and constantly learning ourselves, which is so fun. And there may be days like maybe I go out or whatever that I don't do it at night, but without fail, I will also on Sundays 100,000% write down what worked that week and what didn't, because you can kind of like look at the week from, I don't know, like just a panned out view of the week, and you can think back at the things that worked and what didn't and where you dropped the ball during the week and where you were able to be really consistent because you did something in some way. So your routine and your life and the way you live, you can constantly be making little tweaks to it based on what worked and what didn't. For example, here's something that I know I'm gonna write down tonight. So recently I have been going to the gym at 6 a.m. and my lifts are pretty intense. So I had to start eating at like, sorry, I started going to the gym at 7 a.m. So I had to start eating at like 6:30 a.m. So I've been experimenting with different pre-workouts because like, not like energy drinks or whatever, but like different pre-workout meals. So some days I'll eat something and midway through my workout, I'm like literally starving. And then other times it's like a bit more satiating, but it's like too much fat, so I feel kind of sluggish. Anyways, point is I've been experimenting. Today was the very first time I made protein oats, and it was the very first time that I was not starving by the end of my session and I had so much energy. However, after I had the oats, I had made this little matcha, but I didn't want to bring the glass into the gym with me. So I kind of chugged the matcha before the gym, and it gave me like, I know that feeling. Like I know the feeling when I drink caffeine too fast, and it just gave me that feeling. So for the first half of my session, I felt so sick to my stomach, but I know it was from like drinking the matcha too fast. So like that didn't feel good, but the protein oats felt great. So that is just like little things like that make such a big difference. You're studying yourself and you get to use yourself and your avatar and your life as a literal experiment. Next, I need to talk to you about stress. So this video, you know, we're talking about blowing up and locking in. I'm glad, you know, we're on topic. So in that case, what is the thing that is the literal opposite of locking in and glowing up? And that is stress. Stress is the glow down hormone. And in order to get rid of stress or reduce it to a healthy level, you're probably gonna need to tweak some things, and that's okay, because it'll lead to better health, better physical health, better mental health, better productivity, and more glow literally in your skin, because stress makes you kind of like crinkle up like a raisin. You just look like you got electrocuted. Your body is not functioning properly. You're holding onto water. You're holding onto excess fat. Everything is just worse with too much stress. Now that is a whole journey, but there are little tweaks that you can start making since today. So here are the 10 main stress-inducing mistakes that a lot of people tend to make. And mind you, these 10 things are all things that I've been through as well. So I know that by managing them and or getting rid of them, that you will see a big difference in your stress levels. Number one is caffeine misuse. Either drinking too much caffeine, because that really raises your cortisol levels, or drinking it on an empty stomach, or drinking it as a meal, that is going to spike your cortisol. It's going to spike your stress. I switch from coffee to matcha. Most days I don't even have matcha or tea, and I will only allow myself a coffee now like once a week. And even at that, I just feel so good not drinking energy drinks anymore and not drinking coffee anymore that I usually won't even want it. Number two is skipping meals or inconsistent meals. I do think there is a truth to not needing to eat that much throughout the day. I think like as a generation, not as a generation, but as a country, if you're from the States in general, we just eat too much. And there's a lot of benefits to having fasting periods and eating periods. I've been through that as well. well. I think that for women, it can be a little bit trickier. And I know the majority of my audience, they are women. You need to find out what works for you. But personally, me, especially as a cycling woman, and especially when I'm towards the end of my cycle, I do not want any kind of skipping meal, inconsistent meal situations. Stress is reduced a lot more when things are just structured, planned. If you have like more or less like the same kind of like meal portions around the same kind of day, around the same kind of time of day, it doesn't have to be exact. It doesn't have to be perfect. But if the eating is just all over the place, you're going to cause a lot more stress for your body compared to having like a loose structure around food, which is like 2 to 5 balanced meals a day, whatever works for your schedule. That's like protein, fat, fiber, carbs, the basics. It sounds really simple and like duh when I say it, but a lot of people don't actually do it. Number 3 is lack of quality sleep. I don't know about you, but sleep is like the biggest thing for me. If I do not get good sleep, just everything is out of whack. I'm a horrible person and my stress, I'm just so stressed. My appetite is crazy and just the lack of sleep is probably the worst thing to ever exist in the entire world. With sleep, you recover. We know that. I personally use an Oura Ring. That's how I track my sleep. So I know when I'm getting enough sleep and that is great for me. Not everyone has some kind of tool or wearable device that tracks their sleep. But if you don't, just having a consistent bedtime and wake time could be really great for you. And honestly, just use this lockup to enter your grandma era and start going to sleep early and really prioritizing and taking care of your sleep. Number 5 is the lack of intentional rest. If you're going throughout your entire workday, your entire school day, and you're not even letting yourself rest during like your lunch break or like every hour if you work from home like me, even for just like 5 minutes, if you're working through your lunch break, constantly doing something all the time without having intentional deplug and rest time, that is going to mess with your stress so much. And a lot of people who struggle with this see rest as a reward instead of a non-negotiable part of your daily routine. Number 6 is scrolling first and last thing in the day. I don't think I need to explain any further, but that is just so bad for your stress hormones. Give yourself some time in the morning for you. Give yourself some time to not like connect with that part of the world yet. And before you go to sleep, you don't want that blue light. That's also not good for your cortisol and it's just going to wake you up and it's not going to be great. Number 7 is being a yes woman. Saying yes to everything and wearing yourself too thin, it's not healthy. Learn how to say no. Thank you. Number 8 is skipping daily movement and sunshine. Number 9 is constant multitasking. Habit stacking like walking and working is a great tool that I use every day, but multitasking for everything the entire day is not cute. And number 10 is a cluttered space. When you have a clean space, you have a clean mind. Now we know what to get rid of, right? Because stress is the glow down factor. Let's get into my favorite glow up tips, ideas of things to add that at least for me have given me the best results. I genuinely believe the biggest factors in an effective, long lasting glow up is 1, when you're having fun. And mind you, you're allowed to have fun every day. Just think of a time where you were having a lot of fun, whether that was like, I don't know, for me, I was having a lot of fun senior year of high school. Oh my gosh, I was glowing so much during that year. Or just when I'm on vacation, like I just glow when I'm having fun. And I had to realize at some point that I didn't have to wait for a certain like time in my life, a certain institution or vacation for me to have fun. It can be incorporated into your daily life. Number 2 is also taking care of your health from a place of love and sustainability. And number 3 is replacing your current drainers with colors. Okay, number 1, my favorite glow up tip is steps. And I know everyone talks about steps and I heard people talk about it for so long before I decided to actually do it and actually track my steps every single day. And I have been doing 10K steps like at least 95% of the days this year ever since January. And it's easily made one of the biggest differences in my life. Let me tell you why I love steps so much. Number 1, it helps to reduce stress. You have better mental health, better overall health. It's an easy way to pat yourself on the back every single day when you finish your 7K steps, 10K steps, 15K steps, whatever your goal is. I would recommend starting with like 2 to 3K steps above your current step count. Steps are also such an easy way to habit stack. I have a treadmill under my desk, so I work while I walk and it helps me focus so much. And lastly, steps can be a great social activity. My friend and I walk after every upper body day. You can go on hawker walks with your girlfriends. You can talk on the phone while you walk. Not every social activity has to be surrounded around going out and eating or spending money or shopping or whatever the case, even though shopping is great for steps. But you can just go on a hawker walk as an activity, like have a hot girl walk date. Number 2 is gratitude. Gratitude equals glow. Okay, let's go through it again. Gratitude equals glow. Gratitude is like the biggest correlating factor to happiness. And happiness glow, it's just what gives you that aura effect. You know what I'm talking about? When there is that woman who walks into a room and she might not be the most conventionally pretty woman, but she has aura. Like she is just like her aura is glowing. Implementing a daily gratitude practice will do wonders for your glow up, but not only your glow up, like your mental health and everything. everything. The more gratitude you have, the more gratitude you can practice, the more happiness you will have, the more groundedness you will have, and the glowier and happier you will be overall. So why wouldn't you? Number three is focusing mostly on whole foods. Now, I'm very careful on my channel, on my socials, and even just in my personal life, talking about diets and food choices, even though focusing on whole foods is not a diet, but I just mean like your overall diet, like what you consume throughout the day. Just because I have been through a lot of turmoil with my relationship with food and all of that, so I just prefer to not talk about it sometimes. But now, having been on the more healed side of all of that, incorporating a lot more whole foods and having the majority of my diet be made up of whole foods, it's not a fat loss thing for me. It is generally something I believe everybody should be doing. Like, it is just the normal way that we're supposed to eat. The kind of access that we have to processed food is not normal, and people are getting sicker and sicker every year because of it. Why would anyone want to fall victim to that? When you eat a lot of processed junk, and I'm not saying you can't eat any at all, because that's not true either. You have a craving, whatever, have it. I do too. But when you eat a lot of processed junk, especially like the standard American diet, and like the majority of your foods are like processed packaged foods, your body is stressed. We already talked about stress, but your body is stressed and inflamed. For me, obviously, when I would eat more processed foods, this made me not like, I felt horrible in my actual like physical body. I didn't like what I saw in the mirror. I felt super sluggish and all of that. But even more than the whole physical aspect, my mental health would absolutely go down. And the only times, I'm not even kidding, the only times I like crash out and my mental health just goes like rock bottom is when I'm eating more junk food. Because if your whole body is inflamed, that means your brain is inflamed. And if I incorporate junk food again, like in large amounts, the first thing to go down is my mental health. So I don't mess with that stuff, and I just feel so much better, so energized, so clean, so like de-bloated when I'm just eating whole foods as we should as humans. And on that topic, the next tip is that simple is always best. Adopt that mindset that simple is just always best. Having a simple to-do list, eating simple whole foods, simple but consistent morning routines, simple but consistent skincare routines. Simple is great because not only do you not have to think a bunch, you don't have to do a bunch, you don't have to buy a bunch, but it's so much easier to stay consistent, and you get real results from staying consistent. Next is to spend time with people. I don't know where like the whole hustle culture thing got it from, of like locking in, isolate yourself, and show back up in 6 months, and that leads to like loneliness. I don't know if you knew that, but that's like so not cute, and it's not gonna look cute on you. I am obsessed with the idea of blue zones. Okay, if you don't know what blue zones are, they're basically these areas in the world. I think there's like around 7. You can fact check me on that, but they are areas that have the most centenarians, and centenarians are people who live to 100 or over. So I've watched lots of documentaries and read articles and whatnot over the years on blue zones, because these people are living long and healthy lives. So I'm like, well, I want to know what they're doing. And it's so funny because especially after I watched like the last documentary on blue zones that I watched, and they went to like different countries, right? Like every area had their own pillars, like their diets were different, especially depending on like where they live. Their exercise was different as well. But the thing that was funny is that the one pillar that I saw in all of the blue zones that was consistent was community. All of these people have strong community and lots of social time. I genuinely believe to my core that it doesn't matter how much you work out, how great your skincare routine is, how healthy you eat. If you are isolating yourself, if you are not spending quality time with people, you are overall just doing yourself a disservice, and you are not going to reach that level of health, that level of glow up, that level of satisfaction that you want. You relax when you're with people. You feel connection when you're with people. You release oxytocin when you're with people. If you want a real glow up, not only on how you look, but how you feel, spend more time with people. Have social things, whether it's with family, friends, or even just in new groups, at least 3 times a week. Next is personalization. Now, this one's going to be kind of quick, but obviously, if you don't feel confident in your current, I don't know, lineup of hair care routines and like the clothes that you're wearing, you're going to have to focus a bit more on the area of personalization. Up your style, watch videos on styling, especially like, for example, me, I'm petite, so I follow some like petite fashion influencers, and they teach you how to style like for your body type or whatever the case. You can make a Pinterest board on different outfits that you can put together. Like if you see a picture and you're like, well, either I can buy those clothes, or I have pretty similar clothes in my closet, so I can put together an outfit kind of like this. Do that. You can come up with new go-to hairstyles, you know, trial and error different things until you find one that you feel really confident in. You can try different makeup routines on YouTube. Keep your nails done. Your nails are way better off being bare and nicely filed and nicely groomed instead of having like chipped nails nail polish. That is just disrespectful to yourself and disrespectful to me. Keep yourself clean, keep yourself hygienic, experiment with new looks until you find the things that make you feel the most confident, and you can always change it up again. And lastly, dress up and get ready at least 6 out of 7 days of the week. For me, that's every day. Like, yes, get superficial, because life is too short to not look good for yourself every single day and neglect getting dressed up. Next tip is a morning routine where you can front load a lot of your habits. I wake up, first thing I do, I have like my supplements, I have a pre-workout meal, I pray, then I go to the gym. At the gym, I have social time because I go with my friend, and then I'll go in the sauna and I'll meditate, and I come back and I have a healthy breakfast and I get some more steps in. Now that routine has become second nature for me. I don't feel like I'm doing chores or a task. It's just genuinely fun. And like I've said, I've fallen in love with my day-to-day life, but I also front load a lot of my healthy habits. And if you want things to change from how they are now, obviously your routines and your day-to-day life, like your daily actions, have to change. Something has to give or take, because if what you were doing every day now was working, it would have worked. So something needs to change or else nothing will change. But once you figured out your day-to-day habits that contribute to your goals, front loading whatever you can will be super helpful to keep consistency and avoid making excuses once you're already tired from your work day or your school day or whatever the case. And last little tip, since this is a fall video, even though it's applicable at any time of the year, get some little fall hobbies, or just pick one. Like if apple picking is a thing in your area, you can go apple picking. I love to color. I love to read. I feel like warming up with like a cozy book and like a mug of something warm in fall is just a vibe. It's the perfect time to just read, or crocheting or knitting or sewing or painting. Another hobby that will come on and off for me throughout the years is baking, because who doesn't love to bake in fall and winter? I have loved baking ever since I was a kid, but I was traveling all summer, so I didn't have any of my baking stuff with me. But now that I'm home and everything's here and I have time, I've been loving baking for my friends again. Hobbies make you hot, okay? So get a little fall hot girl hobby if you don't have one already, and have fun, because people who have fun are glowing. And last chapter of today's episode is accountability. You could have listened to all that. You could have been that person that just watches a lot of self-improvement videos and implements nothing. I know, I'm calling some of you guys out. But if that's the case, then there's no point. If you wrote your goals and you came up with the actions you have to do every day, but you don't actually do them, what is the point? You just wasted, I don't know how long this video is going to be, but it sounds pretty long, so I'm assuming you just wasted like 30 minutes of your life. When it comes to developing an accountability system, the goal is reminders, accountability, and personal data. If you did not see the results you want to see in a few months from now, you should be able to look back and be like, oh, because I actually wasn't consistent with this. I actually dropped the ball on this. I actually didn't follow through with X, Y, and Z. At the end of the week, when you go to write down what worked and what didn't work this week, if there's a habit that you're consistently missing or skipping, see what system didn't work. See if that habit actually is correlated to your goals, and think and implement of how you can approach the habit in a new way, with a new system and with a new method of prioritization. And mind you, everything you do, everything you're holding yourself accountable for, should be from love, and it shouldn't be a punishment or a restriction. If you look back at your habits, if you look back at the things that you're doing every day, the actions you're taking, and something just feels icky and you're just like, like I know that one's not from love, either cross it out, change it, or change your mindset around it. Personally, my favorite way to hold myself accountable, like I've said that I've been doing for years, is having a habit tracker. I write down, I don't know, my 5 to 7 habits. Sometimes it's less, sometimes it's more, depending on my bandwidth. And I'm very honest with myself now, I wasn't always, about what my bandwidth is. I check off the things that I do every day, and I put that somewhere. I need that on file, whether it's a physical paper or whether it's on like my notes app or my Notion or something. There is a habit tracker, by the way, on my full life planner Notion, which is in the link of my Stand store. You can find that in the description box or the show notes. It's also in the link of the bio of all my socials. There's a habit tracker there that I use. Sometimes I will switch out and I'll do physical, like if I'm, I don't know, if I'm traveling or I just need something where I can see it every day without opening up a screen, because sometimes things are in the morning, but whatever. Point is, I love habit trackers, whether it's physical or digital, I tend to switch. But even if it's on paper, I make sure that that habit tracker is still on file. Like I will literally take a picture, I will upload it to a personal folder in my Google Drive, because I take accountability so seriously. seriously. And it is really easy for us to lie to ourselves, to gaslight ourselves. But when you have honest personal data, you take that out of the picture, out of the equation. That personally is one of my favorite ways to hold myself accountable. The other one is getting an accountability partner for like certain things. My like lifelong best friend, her and I are super into self-improvement, super into just being our best selves, being that girl, whatever. And her and I are great accountability partners. So for example, now we just started going to the gym together like this past month, and it's been so good because we hold each other accountable for pushing ourselves more. But before that, when I was living abroad, her and I would listen to the same audiobook every single day for 90 days. And we'd like text each other like, hey, I'm listening now, blah, blah, blah. And we were able to hold each other accountable for that every single day for 90 days. Accountability partners are worth their weight in gold. And there's like so many other ways you can hold yourself accountable for things. I think habit trackers are super easy, but you find what works for you. Taking care of yourself is fun. Reaching your goals is fun. I don't know if you can tell in my face, but I have done so many of my like non-negotiables today. I'm working on my passion right now. I don't know if like you can tell, like if you're watching on YouTube, if you can feel the energy in my voice, but I feel like I'm glowing from the inside out because I'm in love with what I'm doing every single day. And I stay consistent with myself because after all you have is your day-to-day life. Your individual days make up your whole life. So you should fall absolutely in love with your daily life, with your daily routine, and the moments that happen in your days. Remember that discipline is the highest form of self-love. Not only the discipline to push and to do and all these actions and whatever, but also the part that not a lot of people talk about, which is the discipline to rest, the discipline to nourish yourself properly instead of crash dieting, the discipline to move when you just want to scroll, the discipline to say no when the people pleaser in you wants to say yes, and the discipline to choose that tiny moment of discomfort because you know you're going to feel so good after. I want you to choose yourself this fall and fall in love with discipline. If you like this video, this episode, obviously make sure to like, follow, or subscribe if you don't already, because I come out with episodes every single week and you can hear from me. I'm also all over TikTok and Instagram and whatnot, so my socials are always linked down below. If you think this video will help someone, definitely share it, spread the love, and that's all. I'll talk to you guys next week. Bye.